Wednesday, 4:30:25. We're going to look at the Old Jerusalem versus the New Jerusalem. Let's go to Acts 7. What?
When you call. Put your hand on the thing when you call.
Just tend your own right and killing. What you're supposed to do is this. Okay. Okay, Acts 7. Then said the high priest, Are these things so? And he said, Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Charan, and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein now ye dwell. He gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot on, yet he promised that he would give to him it to him for a possession, and to his seed after him when as yet he had no child. And God spake on this wise, that he his seed should sojourn in a strange land, if they should bring them into bondage and entreat them evil 400 years. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, and God judge, said God, and after that shall they come forth and serve me in this place. And he gave some the covenant of circumcision. So Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him and delivered him out of all his afflictions, and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Now there came a dearth over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction, and our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first, and at the second time Joseph was made known to his brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh. Then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him and all his kindred, 75 souls. So Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers, and were carried over into Shechem, and laid in the sepulcher that Abraham bought for a sum of money of the sons of Emor, the father of Shechem. But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose which knew not Joseph. The same dwelt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end they might not live. In which time Moses was born, and was exceeding fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. When he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. When he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. I put here the gem. The gem. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, ye are brethren. Why do ye wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying, and it was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat 2 sons, and when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord, an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and come down to deliver them. Now come, I will send thee into Egypt. Moses, whom they refused, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai and with our fathers who received the living oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt. Saying unto Aaron, Make us gods to go before us, for as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we want not what has become of him. They made a calf in those days, and offered sacrifice unto the idol, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Molech, and the star of your god Remphan, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God. And desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. Solomon built him a house. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? Ye stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. We still see this fight going on today. The same old thing, that Jesus was sent first, and they refused him. The Jews of his day refused him. They couldn't hear what they had embraced, which they didn't embrace it at the time. Even Moses brought it, but the Pharisees and the Sadducees did. They couldn't stand the fact of what Stephen was saying. Kind of like the Jewish man saying, you trying to take that away from us too? I'm thinking, brother, nobody took anything. I didn't take anything from you. God did. God said, I'm moving out of that box. I don't dwell in temples made with hands. Okay. They stoned Stephen because he saw and spoke of Jesus being seated with the Father in the third heaven. Jesus wept over Jerusalem for their blindness. This is Luke chapter 13. Verses 34 and 35. Old school, new school. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Our prayer should be that Israel would come to the knowledge of the truth. They're brainwashed, completely and totally brainwashed. Romans chapter 5 talks about that, and I've got quite a bit of scripture today, but it's kind of necessary to convey the point. This is, start with verse 1 there. It says, Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now receive the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come, the last Adam. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense, here's the mission statement of this ministry, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came unto all men, the condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness and eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So the Jews, they still do all their rituals and all these works of the flesh they think makes them holy. They think assures their eternal life. Well, it's not going to happen. All right, can you understand why now the transfiguration had to happen, what Jesus was doing that day? This is Matthew 17. Just the first six verses there. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. When the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. This new doctrine, right here, being imparted to the apostles. These three were apostles. Old Jerusalem was endorsing New Jerusalem, Moses. Any of the one that brought the commandments down out of the mountain, Absolutely. Okay, Mark 9 gives a little bit of different account. That wasn't for no reason. This is nine verses there. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he wist not what to say, for they were so afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. Suddenly, when they had looked round about, they saw no man any more, save Jesus only with them. And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what these things are, these what things they had seen, till the Son of Man was risen from the dead. Transfigured means transform, metamorphose, or metamorphose. And I wrote down here Romans 12, 1 and 2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I like the Amplified in that. Let me read that out of the Amplified. I appeal to you, brethren, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in the view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to external, superficial customs. There's the law. But be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideas and its new attitudes, that you may prove for yourself what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. New ideas, new attitudes. Okay, now let's go to Romans chapter 11. Gonna look at starting with verse 25 there. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, which I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. So Jesus was sent to them first. And for the most part, they rejected him. You know, Jesus talked a lot about the kingdom of God through the parables. He said this to the Jews. This is John chapter 2, verse 19. Well, let's do 18. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou raise it up in 3 days? For he spake of the temple of his body. So Jesus is telling them about a new coming, but they absolutely could not receive it or anything about it. He's trying to tell them the new way was coming, but they were so adamant and so religiousized, or whatever you want to call it, that they could not hear it. I think it's still the same way today. John 14 talks about the Holy Spirit's coming and His dwelling would be within us. Starting with verse 1 there, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you, and I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Stealing of the Word of God, I believe, is the sole purpose, the enemy's sole purpose. He stole it away from the Jews where they cannot see the truth. They seem to be the same as the ones in the New Testament. Very dogmatic. But there's only two masters. No one is their own master. You know, a lot of people think they're living for themselves, and they do what they want to do when they want to do it, and nobody tells them what to do. There's two masters. You're either serving Satan or you're serving God. It's the truth. I believe that the book of Revelation is a book of disclosure, and it's all about the revelation of the new Jerusalem, not the old Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit said to me that we could not have come to this place in history until the church reached her position of third heaven authority. The church is the new Jerusalem, or that's with the dwelling place of the new Jerusalem, or the 144,000. You can see it if you have that revelation. Most see this book as impossible to understand, but it can be decoded by the Holy Spirit for anyone who will look past the surface of it. We're going to read a few scriptures here in the book of Revelation. You know, it's my desire, if any Jews ever listen to this teaching here, that they come to that understanding of what I just read to you about God sent a better way. Not to push them away, and not, it was for them to join. In fact, it was for them first, but they rejected it, and God turned to the Gentiles. Okay, Revelation chapter 3. We can't go back to old Jerusalem with the temple. God's not there. He moved out of the box, never to return. He rent the veil that kept everyone out except the high priest once a year. Tore it from top to bottom. And the Ark of the Covenant. The guy that found the Ark of the Covenant said that the Ark was right under where he died on Calvary, and that blood hit the mercy seat down there. The one sacrifice forever for anyone, for everyone. Revelation 3, verse 7. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door, no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hath kept my word, and hath not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and it's not the one in Jerusalem. And he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Ephesians 2, 6 says, we are seated with him in heavenly places. It says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Our seat, third heaven authority. New Jerusalem is the city of God. And that's where his children reside. Okay, let's go to Hebrews. Chapter 12. Okay, 22, starting 22 there. Wait a minute, I'm on the wrong. I need 12. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. God's not going to have anything to do with temples made with hands. Okay, Revelation 21. I believe we've come to this time in history that the church had to step up for us to be able to even be in this position. 21 verse 2 says, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And then verse 10 said, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, with the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, on the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Okay, because of the restoration of apostles and prophets, I believe that's why we stand at this place. I believe that God had to raise up his apostles and prophets to bring us to this place, kind of based on the scripture that I brought Sunday about the apostles and prophets. Rejoice, O prophets and apostles and prophets. Okay, we're going to read just a few more and we'll be done. This is Revelation 14. I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders. And no one could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Is this not third heaven authority? These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These are redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. The Lord's talked to us about this being the time of the greatest revival there's ever been. And here comes judgment. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen. Fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day or night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. I don't think we could be to this place if God had not raised up the apostles and prophets for this time and this hour. I believe it has everything to do with this playing out. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto him, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. And I looked to behold a white cloud. Upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, in his hand a sharp sickle. Another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in the sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. In other words, judgment has come. He that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress even into the horse's bridle by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Right here, last scripture here. Revelation, well, no, I'm going to read 15, then we'll read 16:1. 15 says, and I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the thunder of his name stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sang the song of Moses, servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations have come and worshiped before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle, the testimony in heaven, was opened, and the seven angels came out of the temple, having seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breastplates girded with golden girdles. One of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and ever. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, Go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. This is where I believe we sit. I believe that's what God is doing. When the church gets to their third heaven authority, then the vials can begin to be poured out.